to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 111 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And my, the GOAT strikes again, winning his unprecedented sixth Super Bowl ring. Oh, I was pumped. I really was. But you know what? I was out watching a game, and it was, while I was excited, I lost my voice. That's how excited I was during the Patriots-Chiefs game. There was nothing to lose your voice over with the Super Bowl. My goodness, was it a bore. Not what we were expecting. It adds to the criticism that, it should have been the Chiefs or it should have been the Saints and all that. I get it. I do get it. But my man, Tom Brady, six rings. Woo. And there's going to be a little bit more said about that here in a few minutes with my guest, who will have a lot to add to the topic. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Mine culminated around the Super Bowl, as I'm sure it did for most of you. But now that the Super Bowl is over, the wait is over. This past weekend, our last weekend without NASCAR for quite a while, until our first off week, which, man, I think isn't until like May, June, maybe something like that. So that is awesome. I'm going to get into the Clash this weekend here in a bit. And back again, Mr. Aaron Studwell will be making his first of his weekly appearances this week to let us know what we can expect for the weather this weekend for the Clash. So that's exciting. Got a couple other things lined up later in the show. I am so excited about my guest tonight, so I am not going to waste any more time. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, time to get right into this week's guest. Joining me on the line from Yahoo Sports, he's covered the Olympics, the Masters, countless Super Bowls, the Daytona 500. He is also the author of the book Death to the BCS, and he's also a good friend of mine, making his Lap Traffic debut, Dan Wetzel. Dan, welcome to the show. How's it going, man?
Going well, but we should just tape this at 24 seconds in Berkeley, Michigan.
You know, it crossed my
heard
mind.
Heard the clinking glasses in the background. Absolutely. And really made this authentic.
That, you know what? I think we're going to have to set that up and do that maybe sometime over the summer or something like that. So, little backstory. You guys have heard me mention, as Dan just did, little hometown bar, 24 seconds. That's where I met Dan through the owner, Bob, there. I've gotten to know each other over the years. Dan and I have had many a beverage together, including this past opening day on a raining opening day, which was a blast, though.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you are the only NASCAR fan in the bar, I think.
It's a good possibility. There are quite a few that encourage and just like to see how long of a tangent I will go on. But I'm definitely the biggest diehard there.
Yes, definitely.
So will you be joining for opening day, or is that too far in advance to plan that
one? I got to see what the date of that is, but maybe. I don't know. Certainly possible. I gotta check and see what date we got.
I do not have that off the top of my head, I can tell you that. All right. So Dan and I are going to talk a variety of sports here. Going to see how much I can cram in here in about 30 minutes. We'll obviously get into NASCAR and Daytona, but when you have one of the best in the business at covering sports, I got to throw some other stuff in the mix. So Dan, let's get right into it. You just got back from Atlanta. How many Super Bowls has this been now?
I've been to every Super Bowl since, I'm going to say 04.
Wow.
When the Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
Houston. Is that 2004?
February 2004. Sounds right to me.
Something about that. And I've been to all of them since then. So very fortunate. So I guess that would make this the 15th Super Bowl.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool.
A lot of Patriots, which you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the talk on the post interviews, was how it felt like a home game for them, which was very cool.
The crowd was overwhelming. New England, the Rams have very few fans, and it's much farther from Los Angeles, and the Patriots fans just turn out. Plus, the Patriots have fans everywhere. That, you know, I mean, they're the like most popular like team in the league now.
Like the Bulls and the Lakers. Like, you've got those fans spread throughout throughout the country there.
Yeah, and those kids that were 10 years old that saw their first one and said, hey, this is going to be my team.
And
you
that,
know, maybe
that
they
was
lived
it?
In areas that didn't have an NFL. Yeah, they're 28 years old now.
Right.
You know? And so it's and they're having kids. So it's you just get that run of success because there's so many parts of the country that don't have a team.
Lions.
And so like it could be Detroit. Yeah. No. But like, you know, it's easy to be a fan of that. But also like let's say you just live in Kentucky or Tennessee or Tennessee, but like parts of Tennessee or, you know, wherever.
Sure.
You know, like you just don't live near an NFL team. And you just say, hey, this is going to be my team.
Why not root for a winner?
Right.
So talk about the game a little bit, Dan. You know, definitely a defensive battle throughout the first half. 3-3 tie at the second. Tom Brady picked up a little bit of steam there with that long ball to Gronk. But, man, not much offense at all.
No, you know, it was a combination of really good defensive strategy. There's no question there was some of that, and there was some really solid defensive play. But it was also poor execution. I mean, this wasn't just great defense. I mean, Brady threw him in the dirt a couple times. The interception he threw was really a bad pass. Goff had a number of bad decisions and passes and held the ball. You know, both Brady and Goff were sacked at times because they just held the ball too long. You know, if you look back in the game, there are very few, like, great even defensive plays. You know, there was the McCourty breaking up Cooks in that end zone where the Rams should have had a touchdown. But that was really because Goff didn't throw. He just tried to float it in there instead of just heaving it. And he was late on the read. And then there was another one to Cooks in the end zone. He should have caught, but he didn't, and then that got broken out. But it wasn't like one of those things where it's like, you know, Aaron Donald was incredible and had four sacks, and this pass got Steph Gilmore just made this incredible fingertip deflection or any of that. There's just so few memorable plays in the game. There were no trick plays. There was nothing. Nobody was doing anything. And the Rams punted 8 straight times. I thought that was why it was a boring game, even though I'm not opposed to defense. And I think you can have a really well played, you know, game that's 3-3 going into the fourth quarter. I think the most amazing stat. There was one play the entire game by either team that was snapped in the red zone.
That was Sony the Brady Michelle interception. Yep. Nope. Yeah. The interception
was
outside.
Michelle run.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing else. Nothing was the Rams never made the red zone. You know, both teams missed a kick. Like even the punts were like there were some pretty good punts by New England, but like there were only two returns. There was only a couple returns. Like no big. It was just was like, all right, let's do something here. You know.
Well, like you said, you know, it wasn't like it was this great defensive thing. It was more or less the offense just collapsed, and eventually a defensive player was going to be there to make some type of a play.
Brady was good in the fourth quarter, though. That was the difference. Brady, that one big drive, he had two great passes to Gronk.
Yep.
Including the big one for 29 yards, and he had another good one to Edelman over the middle, but Edelman was just open. I thought those two plays to Gronk and Brady really stepping up and playing like Tom Brady. And then they ran the ball really well in the next drive. So they got 10 points in the fourth. So they got it going. Goff never really got it going.
Yeah. All right. So there was a lot of buzz surrounding the NFL conference championship games. What was your take on the ending to the Saints-Rams game and the OT game with the Chiefs and the Patriots? And do you see any type of significant changes from either of those two games?
I don't think so. There is not an impetus to change that. Let's start with Kansas City to change the coin flip thing. You know, the numbers bear out like 52% of the time the team that wins the coin flip wins the game. So that's not a statistically problematic. And even in the other game that day, New Orleans won the coin flip and got the ball, and they ended up losing. There is a There is a negative to getting the ball first. Now, you can go down and win, but you also could give up field position, or in that case, they gave up an interception, a turnover that doomed them. So I would be fine if in the playoffs they said, hey, both teams get the ball, but there's just not any movement in the NFL to do that, and the numbers don't bear out that this is a huge problem. So it can be frustrating in that moment, but this is how they want to do it.
Sure.
In terms of the other review, I don't know that they will do anything, and I don't think they should. I don't think you want to get into reviewing judgment, because finding that consensus that's 99% or over, it's already hard enough on, you know, is both feet in, or, you know, spotting the ball, catch rule. And when you get into is that pass interference, it's just going to be a nightmare. And then also, I mean, look, it was a terrible call, but if you know, like, look, if in the game on the Super Bowl, if Bill Belichick still has his one challenge, or he knows that they will have to review potential pass interference, you line a guy like Gronk up wide and just have him run fly routes down the right side, like, he's going to get interfered with, or he's going to be open. Because if you go by the letter of the law, did someone touch him 5 yards from the line of scrimmage? Yeah, of course they did.
Right. So, yeah, basically, I see where you're
going with
that.
It changes the way the game's played.
Yeah.
Or what about, you know, the Rams could have sat there on that final drive, and instead of trying to drive down the field, or let's say it was close, it's 2 seconds left, you're trailing by 2 points, and you're on your own, you know, 15-yard line. Like, the games, you have to try one of those crazy plays. Instead, you could just throw a Hail Mary and figure there's going to be pass interference, and there's almost always pass interference, and we either catch it or we get a pass interference call. You know, it just could potentially change the way the game's played. So as bad as that call is, it's kind of the outlier. It's the worst call we've seen, and it was bad.
Sure.
But the Saints still had chances to win, and for the most part, these games aren't necessarily decided by that play.
Yeah, sure. Man, that's an awesome perspective to that you just mentioned there, in terms of you're basically going to guarantee yourself in the right situation, worst case, a first down by being able to save a challenge flag if they were to open up to a coach's challenge. That's awesome. I love that perspective, because I hadn't thought of that. That's awesome. So Tom Brady wins the sixth ring. Personally, I think he should have 8. Those 2 Giants losses, I'm still a little bitter over. We talked before we hit the record button. We were at, you and I, the Lions-Patriots game, week 2, Sunday Night Football, and Detroit beat the Patriots. So it was definitely not a Patriots team that we're used to seeing. That said, it sounds like Tom's going to come back. What do you think? Should he come back? Should he go on top? Or, hey, maybe he gets and gets 7 and goes out on top next year too?
He's going to come back, I'm almost sure. And I think most of us, pretty much all of us, play until we're told we can't. Now, sometimes that's in, like, you fail to make the varsity in high school, or or you don't get you don't get recruited into college, or you don't get drafted. Pretty much everyone wants to play until they're told you're not good enough anymore. And so I don't think that, just because Brady's 41 and has done all this, if he wants to keep playing and having fun with it, I don't blame him. Who wouldn't want to have that job? Obviously risks injury and stuff like that, but at the same time, he's obviously loving it and still can play at a very high level. This was not his best game, but the week before was very good.
And yeah.
Last year's Super Bowl, he threw 505 yards. And like I said, in those key moments, Brady made those passes and got this thing done. So I think he's going to be back, I'm almost certain. And I don't see why anyone should be able to tell him, hey, you should just quit. Almost nobody else quit until they were told this isn't working anymore. You're not going to play or whatever.
Yep. I think he'd like this one a lot more than maybe number 4 or number 5, because of the fact of the negativity surrounding him and the Patriots this year, and that they're not the team to beat. So I think this one probably tasted a little bit better when that whistle blew at the end of the fourth quarter there.
He definitely enjoyed that. I think these last three he has enjoyed much more than the first three, or maybe the first one he did most.
Sure.
I think beating Seattle was like, he had won those first three, and then there was 10-year gap.
Yep.
And those two Giants losses, it was like, they can't get over the top. And I think beating Seattle was like, all right, I proved it. I am the greatest, or super, you know, incredible. And then I think Atlanta was just the challenge of the comeback. And then I think this one, like, I agree. Like, I think one, they certainly should have beat the Giants in 2007 season when they were 16-0. That was the best Patriots team of this whole era.
Absolutely.
They just lost. This, I think, was like one of their worst. Certainly the worst to make the Super Bowl, but won.
Yep.
Like, if they had a fraction of this defense a year ago, and that's, you know, Lions fans can wonder what they hired on that. But if that fraction of a defense, they win. I mean, they hit 505 yards last year and three TDs passing, and they lost.
Yep.
This year, he had 226 and a pick.
And he wins.
And got to the red zone once.
Win,
right?
I
mean,
yep.
So I do think they kind of maybe stole one back. If this was the Saints, maybe they don't win, or, you know, they just eat. You win some, you lose some on this. But I think he did really enjoy everyone saying I'm too old and doing it at 41.
I love it. All right. Let's transition over to college football for a quick one. As I mentioned, Dan wrote a book called Death to the BCS, and Dan was much in favor of a college playoff system, which we got. Dan, are you happy with the college football playoffs a few years into it? Do we need to go to six teams? Are we good with four? The bowls are oversaturated. What's your take on college football?
Well, it's better than it was. Four is better than two. You know, if we had last year, if last year had been the BCS, Notre Dame would have been left out undefeated and been saying, well, you know, that's not fair. And it probably wouldn't have been. And then, you know, in truth, Notre Dame got their chance and couldn't get it done. And, you know, no one could get it done against Clemson. Clemson was able to prove without a doubt that they were the best team.
Sure.
So this is better. The games haven't always been great, but you can't. Sometimes they've been great. Sometimes they haven't. That's just football. I mean, that's just how it works. I would like to see eight. I'd like to see all five major conferences have an automatic bid. I think, like, just not having the Big Ten in it most years, or the Pac-12 in it, isn't necessarily a good thing for college football. It's very Southeastern driven right now.
Sure.
I think there's a better way to, you know, the NFL playoffs is incredibly exciting, and nobody sits there and says, geez, why is, you know, I don't know, any of these games we watched, why are the Bears in this thing? They're not that good, you know, and it's like, you know what, the Bears game against, so, you know, Bears play Philly, like, it was a great game, and they hit the doink off the, you know, like, you don't sit there and go, well, these teams deserve it. You're just like, that was a great football game, high pressure, and neither team did get there. It's not a bad problem to have teams get a shot.
No, I'm,
you know,
with you.
Like,
I'm with
it creates you. Great football. Like, who was against that game? It was a huge TV rating, and people loved it. And, yeah, it had no bearing on the title. At the end, it'll all wear out. So I don't think a bigger playoff is a problem. Well, the NFL is doing things very, very well. And resisting that makes no sense to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. All right. One more non-NASCAR, then we'll get a couple NASCAR ones in here.
Yeah.
Let's transition over to a little hometown college basketball. Both Michigan State went on some runs early on. State's dropped its last two games to Purdue and Atlanta. Michigan on Friday, very tired looking, sloppy, dropping two of their last five. Both teams have a tough schedule to close out the season. Big Ten looks strong. They play each other 13 days apart to close it out. Might see each other a third time in the Big Ten. And, hey, who knows, maybe in a tournament. Where are you at with Michigan State basketball right now?
Well, you know, I think they're both good teams, and you're going to lose games. I mean, it's just basketball. It doesn't really matter whether you go through this thing. They're both going to have high seeds, and they're both going to be ready for March. And I do think the end of the year is going to be pretty exciting with the two games. just in terms inside the state of Michigan. Like, I have heard people mention, like, hey, I think it's like a Sunday afternoon, that first one.
Yes. Yep.
You know, like, hey, people, we should get together and watch that game. That's pretty rare for college basketball, that it has like a feel of like a football game.
Sure. Absolutely.
Like, there might be parties and people going out in groups and stuff like that to watch a college basketball game in February. So I think that's great that both teams are doing well for the state of Michigan.
Excellent. All right. Let's get a couple NASCAR in here. Dan, you have covered the 500. I know NASCAR's not like your number one sport that you cover, but you have done it. How many 500s have you been to?
I have, I think I've been to, in 2005, I don't know, 2004 maybe I went. When did, yeah, 2004 I think I went, and then I've been to almost all of them except during Winter Olympics.
Okay. All right, so that's a good 15, 20 year
span
right there.
I'd say maybe 10 or 12. I love it. It's a great day. It's a great venue. It's a great race, great American race. It's almost always interesting, I really enjoy it.
Any 500 stick out to you? Any memorable one?
So many good. I mean, that one Denny Hamlin won with the just incredible move at the end.
Over Martin Truex. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that one stands out as just brilliance. Dale Jr. winning obviously was a big thing. Maybe those two stand out most, but they're just always interesting races. They're just like, there's big wrecks. There's just a lot going on. I mean, even there was a huge wreck at the end of the nationwide race the day before, one of those years, and like Tony Stewart's car went into the stands, and you know, it was a total mayhem.
Sure.
It's the crowd, though. It's one of those things that I think, like, if you could go to Augusta for the Masters on Sunday, it doesn't really matter who wins. Like, you're at this place and you're like, this is awesome.
Sure.
You know, it's just, this is an awesome event and an awesome venue, and the way everybody prepares for it, and then they just all go just all out to win it at the end is just so intense. Those last 30 laps and then 10 laps and then, you know, right down to the last half lap, because the track's so big, there's just so many options that everyone is just driving so aggressively to win this. It's such a great way to kick off a season.
Absolutely. You mentioned the crowd, and you know, like you mentioned Augusta, you've covered and been to the Olympics, and obviously the stick and ball sports. What makes a NASCAR fan different to maybe a fan or the crowd at an Olympic event? Because that's definitely a wide spectrum range of fandom to cover there. Like, compare some of the different crowds that you've seen at some of these events that, you know, the everyday spectator isn't able to go to.
Well, I think there's accessibility with NASCAR. You know, it's very easy to meet your favorite driver.
Sure.
There's meet and greets. There's, you know, even just public meet and greets, let alone, like, you know, if you're a Verizon customer. I mean, just basic, easy ways to get into other greets. You can see the cars. You can, you know, if you buy a certain ticket, you can be down, you know, walk through the pits and the garages and watching. So I think there's just this great accessibility. The other thing with Daytona and a lot of tracks that are big enough, you have people camping in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And that can range from, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in RVs. There's guys with a like little pit tents out,
right? Just
you know, and they were on the side, like they can from there. It'd be like putting a tent up on like the foul ground of Yankee Stadium and watching the, like the ALC. Like, what?
Yep.
Like you're right there. Like that guy's paying. I don't know what they pay at night, but he doesn't have. He's just sleeping there in a sleeping bag in a tent,
right?
And he's right there. He can step out of his tent and watch the cars go by. You know, not the greatest view, but. You're there, and you're there for days. It's a weekend, and the weather's good. And these guys set up these little bars, and everyone's just partying and having fun. And then, yeah, go over here. And this guy's doing a signing thing. And then let's go check out this. And we're having other races all day. There's just so many different things going on. that it is a true weekend party and event. You don't have to be drinking to like have fun. There's just so many things going on that you just don't get with a lot of other sports.
Sure.
Like
sure.
They do have there's concerts. I mean, they have all that stuff too.
Yep.
There's some of that with like a Super Bowl's got a lot going on, but it's just different. Like you get in your seat and you sit in your seat and you watch a football game. It's not like, hey, I want to watch this part, you know, over here on turn one. And then I want to be up on my friend's deck on top of his truck, you know, in the backstretch. Like you can just move around, do whatever you want. So I just love that part of it. It's a real festival.
That's awesome. I love it. Dan, NASCAR made some big changes this year with the rules package that could give us more pack style racing at tracks like Daytona. News broke yesterday that NASCAR will now take away wins if cars fail post-race inspection, which will involve a more detailed inspection at the track versus at the research and development center. What are your thoughts on taking away wins in any sport, really, NASCAR, baseball, whatever, versus just putting an asterisk in the book?
So is that only if they post track realize you cheated in that race, they'll take away the win?
Yes.
So, okay, they're not just saying we're punishing you and taking your win away from 3 weeks before.
Right. Nope. That race at the track.
I mean, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it's probably, I mean, if you're cheating and you win, you didn't win, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, so now, like last year, they would take away all the benefits of the win, but they'd still give that win in the win column. So your win number still went up. You lost all the benefits of it. But now this year, they're actually going to take it away. I think it's going to last year, I think we had three or four wins fall under what this category would have been. So I definitely think that's going to go down. You're going to be a lot more hesitant to push the envelope in terms of weights, measurements, all that good stuff. And you're not going to want to do a victory burnout celebration and then have the embarrassment of, hey, now you didn't win the race.
Yeah, maybe. But it is kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. I guess we're going to see. I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's sort of
the racing mantra.
So I don't know. It'll do a number on like the record books because you're going to be like, who won these years?
Well, so that's the thing. They said they would, you know, for example, let's say whoever wins the 500, his car is deemed to be in violation. If the second place car passes, then they will award the win to the second place car.
Well, that's okay. So the second place, well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Then I guess you have a bigger race for second because you don't know if the guy's cheating.
Absolutely.
That might be good.
Absolutely. That's kind of the intrigue that caught me was they're going to inspect the first handful of cars after the race just in case the first one doesn't get through.
Yeah, so I guess you sit around and wait and see what happens.
Yeah, yep.
It's no fun for the reporters.
No, definitely not. Dan, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
At Dan Wetzel on Twitter and at Dan Wetzel Sports on Instagram, although the Instagram page is kind of lame,
okay.
I admit. I occasionally have like lunch pictures and a few things, but Instagram seems to work best for really attractive women.
Yeah, I definitely need to up the Instagram game this year.
You can follow me on Instagram so you can tell like your wife. See, look, I'm following this guy. Like it is safe for work. It is a safe for work Instagram page.
I love it. I love it. All right, Lad Traffic Nation, big thanks to Dan Wetzel for taking some time to call into the show, talk some sports. Dan, can't thank you enough. Everyone, make sure you keep an eye out for Dan's pieces on Yahoo Sports. Dan, hopefully we will see you with a beverage on opening day.
I hope so. That sounds good to me, if not sooner.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll talk to you.
Take care. Thank you.
Yep. All right, Lab Traffic Nation. How about that? Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. I'm sure you all have heard or at least seen at some point in time something by Dan. Just a cool dude. Love being able to hang out with him every once in a while. Very busy, as you can tell and hear. I remember talking to him last Olympics, man, overseas for just a few weeks. Like that's what he does. And it's awesome and just so insightful. and just got a ton of knowledge. So that was very cool. Very excited to be able to talk to Dan here about a wide variety of sports topics. It is a NASCAR podcast, but hey, season hasn't officially kicked off just yet. So keep it interesting, fresh with a couple different topics and all that good stuff. All right, let's talk the Clash, which helps kick off this Sunday, February 10th. Where basically, if you got a car and want to show up, I'm pretty sure you're eligible to run. All right, so this Sunday, the Clash rather than Saturday night doesn't bother me too much. But as you guys know, I am not a fan of all-star races, all-star events throughout any of the major professional sports, which in my opinion, while this is not the all-star race, it's an all-star-like event. You know, for me, I have a hard time getting excited for something that doesn't count. You know, yes, it is going to be great to see cars on the track, and that's what is the most exciting of it for me. But if my driver wins, I'll be honest, it's hard to get excited for that. I'm sure some of you guys feel that way, and maybe some of you guys don't. In all honesty, I hope my driver doesn't win. You're only getting so many wins in your career. You know, take one out of the win column for an event that doesn't count towards a championship or playoffs or anything like that, then, you know. I know these guys are going to go out there and race for the win. I think it probably means more to them to win than it might for us as fans to sit back and see them win these types of events. But again, that is just me. Like I said, what I am excited about, cars on the track, and we are so close to the 500, and the start of the season is really around the fourth corner. I cannot wait. All right, back to the Clash. Clash, 75-lap race with a caution thrown at lap 25, setting up for a 50-lap shootout. Those eligible, and the list is long, are Pole Award winners from last year, former Clash winners who raced full-time in 2018, former 500 winners who competed full-time in 2018, former 500 pole winners who competed full-time in 2018, and anyone who qualified for the playoffs in 2018. It's a long set of qualifiers there, folks. That said, there are 20 eligible drivers, and it appears all 20 are running. I wasn't sure about Jamie Mack initially, but he will be running in the number 40. Now, prior to the Clash, we got qualifying for the 500 on Sunday afternoon to set the front row on speed. The rest of the field will be set by their finish in the Gander RV Duels on Thursday night. You know, this is, I think this is the second or third year in a row where the duels were moved to Thursday night, which is just awesome. I think it's fantastic. I personally like the duels better Thursday night. You want to give me the Clash on Sunday afternoon, that is fine with me. I like a little Thursday night racing, something to get excited about during the week. I am all for that. And when I was putting these notes together, I just realized when I was doing that the duels are on Valentine's Day. So what a perfect way to spend Valentine's Day with your special someone than watching the duels. Gentlemen, just do what I'm going to do and say, hey, I'll take you out Friday night. Let me know how that works for you all. Actually, it should work out fine. I'm sure I'll catch some smart-ass comments. But the wife will be just fine. She after 10 years, Valentine's, you don't have to go out on Valentine's Day anymore, which is nice because I hate waiting. I don't like going and waiting 2 hours or, you know, getting a limited menu and spending. Like, I'd rather just go out to a nice dinner the weekend after, you know, but I'm sure there'll be people doing that too. Anyways, I digress. And in between all of that, in between the duels, the Clash, we're going to have some practice.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
That is right. We are talking about practice. Why are we talking about practice? Because we haven't seen cars on the track in about 90 days, 3 months. So any on-field action is awesome over the next, 12, 13 days here or so before we're actually running for the 500. So that's going to be something to definitely keep an eye on. Following the duels, Friday night, February 15th, Gander Trucks. It is definitely going to take a minute to get Gander in the common vernacular and not say camping world, but the Gander Trucks running the next Era Energy 250 Friday night under the lights at Daytona. 7:30 green flag there. Saturday, February 16th, 2:30 in the afternoon, Xfinity Series running the NASCAR Racing Experience 300 for a little afternoon racing for the Xfinity Series. And then the big dance Sunday, February 17th, the 61st running of the Daytona 500. There you have it. The preview for Speed Weeks next week. We'll recap the Clash, man. And then after that, which I'm excited about, being able to recap the series, all three series, Truck, Xfinity, Cup. I love talking all three. And we're going to do it while we can because we know after first couple weeks, then the trucks are going to be off for what's going to seem like an eternity. But there you have it. All right. I think it's time to do some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I redid it in the off season, so go check out the new look, the new layout for the website. Make sure you're checking out Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean by searching The Lap Traffic Podcast. Subscribe, auto-download, leave a comment. Hey, I even think Siri, if you ask Siri to play The Lap Traffic Podcast, I think she does. So it's real easy. Tell your friends, all that good stuff. The giveaway at 3,500 followers for the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress is still going on. Come on, let's get to 3,500 followers. Keep retweeting, and thank you to all that do. I really appreciate it. I will pick up next week with new follower shout-outs. And hey, on the store, there's new t-shirts with all those new logos, different colors, styles, hoodies, men's, women's, multiple colors and sizes, you name it, it's there. If you want to go and grab a cool t-shirt, I'll have some new t-shirts to give away. Maybe next week. We'll see. Hopefully the order comes in. And don't forget about stickers and koozies. If you want a koozie, I'll be happy to send you one. Just go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will get one out to you. And make sure you keep the pictures coming with your koozie full, and I will put those on the website as well. All right. As you know, right now is typically about the time that you'd be hearing some silly season music and doing some silly season talk, but last week's show was all silly and even some silly season. If you missed last week's show, Sherwin and Rusty from the PETM podcast and David and Andrew from the MOATF podcast, the five of us talked the silly season. So I'm going to lay low on the silly season this week. Go check out last week's show because it was awesome. We had a lot of fun. And if any more news comes out regarding what would be classified as silly season talk, I'll throw it in there whenever need be. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's time to bring back for the first time this season for his weekly weather report. You can check him out on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at RaceWeather.net. Back for another season of weekly weather reports on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Welcome back, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, how are you?
I am doing fan-freaking-tastic. NASCAR's back. Well, I guess technically Friday, we'll be on track with practices, right. And then we finish up Rolex 24 in the rain, and that was a mess towards the end, but always entertaining racing there.
Hey, you like the new music?
I do.
Excellent.
I'm glad to hear something a little different. I know you wanted to jazz up the show a little bit.
Yeah.
And, sounds good.
Excellent. Glad you like it. So you and I have chatted a few times during the off season, but for the listeners out there, how were your holidays? How was the off season?
Off season was good. Keeping busy, working on the PhD dissertation, working on research and working on, a lot of the writing part. Holidays were good. Got to spend time with, family and friends and, you know, just kind of, you know, enjoy the holidays. My tree's still up.
Oh, wow.
I love having my tree up. Last year is up past Memorial Day, so it's like me and Chris Knight and a couple other people. I know Letarte always has some feedback on that. But, yeah, it just wakes up, makes me smile, and I'm happy.
Excellent. Nothing wrong with that. Everyone know I love the Christmas season. I'm notorious for putting stuff up. If it's a nice day outside on Halloween, if it falls on a weekend, the lights are going up outside. But, you know, everything is. Oh, yeah. And
I guess,
on.
So mine just stay up. I don't think mine does. I might just stay up.
Stay up. but no, everything's all cleaned up, put away here. Super Bowl, man. What'd you think?
I'm happy with the result.
Yeah, me too.
You and I, maybe, I'm pretty sure we're not the only two Patriots fans outside of New England.
A few Pats fans follow, so that's good.
Yeah, so Brady being a Michigan man, and then I grew up near Baltimore, so when the Colts left, I looked for another AFC team. I'm from Connecticut originally, so it was the Pats. Even back to maybe being one of the few people outside of New England cheering for them against the Bears in 86. So, maybe like the only people, you know, Grogan and company then. But, yeah, it was a defensive struggle, offensive struggle. I'm not sure how you want to say that. But, yeah, very happy with the result.
Yeah, no, I am, too. It was a struggle to watch a little bit, but, hey. The celebration was had, that's for sure. And the parade was today. I didn't get to see any of the highlights from that, but I'm sure I'll see that later this evening or tomorrow sometime.
Yes, it'll be on one of those all-sport highlight shows.
Absolutely.
On one of those networks that really don't pay much attention to NASCAR,
right,
it seems.
Right, yeah, nope.
What's going on there staffing-wise?
I like that. All right, so Lab Traffic Nation, if you're a regular listener, you know Aaron and I like to talk a little Michigan sports from time to time. And right now, Michigan basketball is in full swing. Man, they started the season off strong, 17-0, but 3-2 their last five games. They're playing tonight, Rutgers. I'm excited to get the podcast done and go tune into that. But, man, they're struggling a little bit, not being able to drive the lane. They seem to be getting behind and relying on threes that aren't falling because they're rushed. What's your take over this last five-game stretch here with the Maize and Blue?
And I'm going to go a little bit different take, but they are related. I think part of the problem is they got into foul trouble early, especially against Iowa. They can't hit threes, and then lack of bench depth. So you get guys in foul trouble early, and you're pulling guys from kind of the middle part of your bench, and they're just not, they're younger, they're not as talented. But it's also not atypical that we get into the heart of the conference season, we just kind of see the conference kind of cannibalize itself. Very similar to what we do in football with, you see these upsets. Purdue over Ohio State is one that comes to mind. And, you get to a point where, they're going to start losing within conference. I'd rather get these losses out of the way now.
Absolutely.
Than go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thinking about it before the first loss at Wisconsin, is like, I'm almost rather have them get a loss out of the way early and then not have to worry about it in the NCAA tournament. So, they know how to come from behind. They know to struggle, and they know, they're not going to get down. I think, depends on who they match up against. I think if they get to the finals of the NCAA tournament, not the NCAA tournament, the Big Ten tourney, I think they have a good shot of winning the conference tourney. They really do.
Yeah, that'd be three in a row.
The line will get them focused and kind of figure out the problems. It's also good to have these problems figured out before you get to that stage, too.
Sure.
You know how to adapt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, we have the first race of the season, the Clash at Daytona this weekend, along with some practicing and all that good stuff. How are we looking?
Slight chance of showers over the weekend. I want to go in order here because Friday we have practice. It's probably going to be, unfortunately, maybe the nicest day of the weekend. We have a cup practice, partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-70s. We have the ARCA race on Saturday. That is a afternoon race. Increasing clouds through the day, slight chance of showers. It does not look like we're going to have any thunderstorms in the mix, so we don't have to worry about kind of lightning delays, but it'll just be track drying delays at times, maybe. Same chance of showers on Sunday. That looks more midday, so that would impact qualifying more than the clash.
Okay.
So, the other thing about Daytona, we've got lights. We can go late. Maybe having a clash that goes finish under the lights, even more so under the lights, because I know it's a later start.
Well, they moved it to Sunday, later start. Doesn't bother me that they moved it to Sunday, but I know a lot of people like the Saturday night clash. But, no, it's... It gives them that leeway if they have to use the lights. So that's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And, you know, and you get a little bit of wind in there. It's, you know, it's a large track, but you get track drying underway, and it doesn't look like it's going to be, it looks like to be more scattered than anything else. It's not a pattern. So just your general afternoon, even in technically the wintertime, we get these afternoon showers coming in off the coast. So I'll be monitoring the situation. Brian Newdorf at NASCAR Weatherman will be monitoring with me. We'll have the website updated tonight. And as you mentioned earlier, we'll be on Twitter and kind of following everything with the radar. And that'll be starting coverage up on Friday.
Excellent. Well, and just an FYI, don't forget to go register for the Fantasy League this year, because I haven't seen your name pop through yet. So just a reminder there.
Well, that's a good reminder for both me and your fans, and then I will go ahead and do that. I'm actually writing that down. Scratch piece of paper now.
Excellent. All right, Aaron, big thanks for coming back, and good kickoff to the season with you this evening. We'll catch you next week for the duels and the Daytona weekend, the big weekend, next weekend with next week's show. Everyone, make sure you're checking Aaron out on the web, raceweather.net, on Twitter at raceweather. Aaron, have a great night. Talk to you next week. Go Blue.
Thank you, sir. Go Blue. Have a good night.
You too. Well, that was fun to get Aaron back on the line. Exciting stuff there weather-wise, and excited to have Aaron back for another season. Talk weather, talk sports, all that good stuff. Nice to have another voice thrown in the mix midway through the show there, so that's awesome. Let's see. All right. It's about that time now where we would be doing the Lucky Dogs of the Week. So that will pick back up next week. So everyone, make sure during the clash, you are getting your Lucky Dogs and your lap down picks of the race weekend. If you're new to the show and are like, what are you talking about? Each week after the drop of the green flag, tweet your Lucky Dog and lap down picks of the weekend. Who did awesome? Who or what didn't do so awesome? Send me those picks. I'll read them, tag you and stuff throughout the season as you send those in. And if you're really brave, like some of you were last year, Andrew Kantzian, Kathleen McDonald, slew of others, John, bunch of people called into the Wave Around hotline, which you can also do that too. 248-965-9538 is the official Wave Around hotline for the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can leave your Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks on a voicemail, and I will play those back on the show. So it's a fun way to get everyone involved. So I am looking very forward to the Lucky Dog picks next week. And I'm also going to this year keep a little tally of who gets the Lucky Dogs or lap downs the most. And that'll be fun to recap that as we go throughout the season. So next week, don't forget, send me your picks and I will get those on the show. You guys know what that music means. That's a fantasy and picks music right there. And while there aren't any picks or any fantasy just yet, there is still time to register for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy link for rules and how to register. New this year, elimination playoff format for the last stage. And to bring the show closer to you, the listeners and the players, whoever is in first place in the standings gets to call into the show if they want to make their picks on the show, maybe talk a little smack. And I forgot to mention, in rereading the rules for the Fantasy League this year, the playoff round is going to be seeded. So if you are in the top 16 and advance to the playoff round, if you're in first place, you're getting 16 points. If you're in second place, you're getting 15 bonus points. And on down to first 16th place, we'll get one playoff bonus point to carry them through in stage three. So go tell your friends, go get registered. On the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, click the fantasy link, go get registered, and hey, you got some shots at some cool prizes. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 111 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, tell your friends. Big thanks to Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports for coming on, talking some football and some racing. And, of course, big thanks to Aaron Studwell for coming on and kicking off his season of weather reports on the Lab Traffic Podcast. Next week, from Fox to hype up Daytona and talk about her new gig with the Truck Series, Caitlin Vinci will be on the show. So excited for that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!